Sounds good to have the organ put back together after about a month. But glad to have that done. Glad you're here this morning in the Lord's house. And anybody that may be out in the parking lot and those that listen later on the website, always glad to worship together our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Wonderful, wonderful Jesus. May we pray. Father God, we come to you tonight and this morning and all day long in the name of Jesus. We thank you that we're welcome as we come in his name. And Father, we pray now that the Spirit of the living God might touch our hearts. Lord, we want to hear what you have to say to us today. And Father, I thank you that in your wisdom and in your power, you can minister to each one of us in our own separate need, just as if there were only one of us. Lord, pour your love into us and let us pour our love into you. We worship you. We worship you. We worship you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning, and thank you, Pastor Ed. If you're here today and you're a visitor, and we do have some, we do thank you for coming, and we welcome you as our special guest this morning. I have, this morning, as we always do, we're going to start off with a hymn sing, good old hymns of the church. And today we're going to sing To God Be the Glory, and page four, all three verses as we stand together, To God Be the Glory.
Loved he the world that he gave us his son, who
the people said,
Amen.
Amen. Welcome someone as you, this morning. Amen. I love that old song. To God be the glory. Amen. All right, I have some announcements for you. First, I want to call the attention to the nominating committee. This is the new nominating committee. We are going to have a brief meeting down front right after service today. And I promise you, those of you that got roast in the oven, I promise you that we will not be but just a few minutes. We just want to organize and get going. So we need to got work to do. And so please join me down here just a few minutes right after service this morning, okay? We're going to continue on with our same schedule as we're doing now. It seems to be working well for us. So we'll do that as we've been doing. Let's not forget the Wednesday night services. Let's keep those in mind and come and be with us. We're enjoying the Bible study the pastor presents to us each and every Wednesday night. Okay? Do that. We have communion scheduled for May the 29th and then Vacation Bible School. Vacation Bible School will be coming June the 27th through July the 1st. And again, I encourage you, if you hadn't already signed up for something or volunteered for something, see Miss Rita right there, and she will take care of that immediately. So please come, please be with us, and sign up and be part of Bible school. It's a blessing, I promise you, absolute blessing. Are there any other announcements that I may have overlooked at this point? All right. Then I have some prayer requests, and the prayer requests this morning that we need to keep in our mind. Let's remember Brenda Hill. Now, Brenda Hill is Keith Hill. All of you know in the community Keith Hill. Brenda is Keith's wife, and she's having some real issues after COVID. COVID has left her with some real issues with her memory and with her strength, and she is just really, really low. And let's pray for Brenda Hill. Let's pray for Kenny's mom. Kenny's mom is now, as she's entering a new phase, right, Kenny, with some other things going on in her life as she is getting older, as we all are. Things do change. But let's pray for healing for Kenny's mom. Sherry and Steve Barbie, the family has lost a friend, family member. And let's remember Mike Barbie. Mike Barbie is also part of that family. His family also, Mike passed away as well. He's an old school friend of mine, a cool chum. We went to school together with Janice and I, so let's remember that family. Let's remember Janice's grandson, Jackson. Jackson needs our prayers. Let's lift him up before the Lord. And then just told this morning that we need to pray for Vivian and Mike Austin. Both of them have COVID, and we also Mike fell, I understand, and had a fall. So let's remember them in our prayers this morning. Now, are there other prayer requests this morning? Yes. Chuck Hams. Okay. I didn't get the name.
He's my cousin. They're my cousins, but yeah, it's very sad. He took his own life. So please pray for mental health and his mental health month. And so many people need prayer. So many people we don't even know need them.
Yeah. Okay, we'll be praying for him. Are there others?
Has anybody, or can anybody tell me how well Rodney Urey is doing?
Rodney Urey? I don't know.
He's a fine fellow, and I haven't heard from him, but he's on our prayers.
Yeah, no, I have not, Ann. All right, if there are not any further, we'll go to the Lord in prayer at this time. Join me in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you again, Lord, for this beautiful day you've given us. We thank you for the blessings, and Lord, before I ever ask you for anything, I'd like to say thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for those that are here today. Thank you for them prioritizing their time to be with us today and be in this worship time. And then, Lord, as we go forward in this service today, Lord, we want to thank you already for those who have volunteered to continue to bless us today. And with your blessings, they will bless others. And we pray for Tonda. She'll come and sing for help us this morning with our praise music. and Pastor Ed as he'll be delivering the message. We pray for both of them this morning. But then, Lord, there are those that we need to mention specifically in your name this morning and ask for healing, and we ask for help from you, please. That we pray, we lift up Brenda Hill this morning to you, Lord, as she's suffering complications. We pray for Kenny's mom, Lord. We pray for healing for her. Then, Lord, we pray for the Chuck Helms family as they've lost a loved one. The Mike Barbie family as well have lost a loved one. We lift up, we pray, Lord, for David's father as he is going into tests. Lord, we pray for him. We lift him up to you and pray for healing for his body. For Janice's grandson, Jackson, we pray for him. And also then, Lord, for Vivian and Mike Austin, we pray for them as they're dealing with COVID plus a fall for Mike. We lift them up to you this morning. And we, Lord, we know that you're all-powerful. You're an awesome God. And, Lord, we know you're able. And, Lord, we lift them up to you, and we ask for your healing this morning. Now, Lord, as we go forward, we want to thank you for another day and a time for worship. And now we go, and all the things that happened here today, Lord, as a song we just sang, to God be the glory. And it's just this prayer we make in your name. Amen. We're going to ask Miss Tonda to come now, and Tonda's going to join us, lead us in worship, a time of worship in our praise music this morning. So Miss Tonda, if you will come. I'm so thankful for these praise members that we've asked to come and help each Sunday as we do our praise music, and Tonda's a valuable member of our praise team.
Well,
so
today I want to make sure y'all focus on listening to Miss Twyla Paris. I'm here in body, but these allergies are beating me up, so y'all may not hear a lot out of me, but Miss Twyla has got this song. It is beautiful. He is exalted. I don't think we've done this one yet, so I don't know how loud we know it, but we're going to learn it. So I'll stand with me, and please follow along. Jeff's got us all set up for the screens, and so we're good to go. Ready?
On high, I will praise Him. He is.
kiddos, children are dismissed.
I know if you've not sung that song before, a little awkward, but at the same time, there's so much truth in it. Jesus is exalted. Yes. Around the throne of heaven today, the angels and the seraphim and those who've gone on before that know the Lord, they are praising and exalting the name of Jesus. Sometimes I just get to thinking, people that I know that knew and loved the Lord, and I just sort of picture them in my mind around that throne. And boy, are they excited. They are excited as they worship the Lord. You know, depending on, it may not have been in every home, but in a lot of homes, mom had some advice for you. You go to the doctor has some advice for you. You talk to a nutritionist, they've got some advice for you. You need to have a balanced diet. In other words, they will tell you, coffee and donuts, three meals a day doesn't get it done. Usually if we just focus on one or two things, our health mentally, physically, emotionally gets out of whack. I remember those old food charts, you know, the triangle thing from school. And now they say that the thing's all messed up and they need a different triangle with different things. And what do you need, seven or eight or ten fruits and vegetables every day? I won't ask you to raise hands and see how many of you do that. But good physical health comes from good physical eating. Well, you know, spiritual health is the same way. God wants us to be healthy spiritually. And God provides for that. Turn with me to the book of Ephesians, chapter 4. The book of Ephesians, chapter 4. And I'm going to start reading at verse 7. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. And I skip down to verse 11. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and teachers. Now right there, God is saying, I have given to my church, my people, five different gifts. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And the honest truth is, if we are going to grow spiritually like we should and like the Lord wants us to, and if we're going to grow healthy spiritually, we need to be participating with all five spiritual gifts. Now, I'm in the pastor and teacher category. So that means that sometimes during the year, you need to be engaged with somebody that's in the other three categories. It may be in a revival. It may be watching someone on TV. It may be with CDs. It may be with books or magazines. But at some point during the year, you need to be partaking of the spiritual gifts that God has given you to have a well-balanced spiritual diet. Now, in over 50 years as a pastor, I've seen some folks that just get into one vein of thought, and they just, sometimes they get heretical, and sometimes they just get weird. I'm thinking about a guy I know. Now, he's passed on now, and I think he went to heaven, but you couldn't interest him in anything except prophecy. I remember running into him at the hospital one day. He was going to visit somebody, and he was just so excited about some tapes that he had just received, and he was looking at them, and I'm thinking, man, I wish I'd get you to church to listen to something else. I believe if I could have told that man, I've got this book that proves Jesus is coming to Morrow Mountain Thursday afternoon at 3 o'clock, and this book's going to cost you $50, he'd have bought it. I mean, he was into that kind of thing, but nothing else. And then there's some folks that get so busy learning and learning and learning that if their next door neighbor came in and said, the doctor's given me an hour to leave, tell me how to be saved, they couldn't do it. In other words, to be healthy spiritually, we need to partake of the gift of the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist. Thank God for people like Billy Graham that had the gift of evangelism. I mean, you know, Billy preached simple messages, give an invitation, and then hundreds and thousands would walk the aisle to accept the Lord Jesus Christ. Now that's a gift. The Lord knows we need a healthy dose of all of these to grow spiritually. Now, Paul goes on to tell us exactly what a healthy spiritual diet produces. And for the rest of this chapter, and part of the rest, part of chapter 5, Paul tells us exactly what happens. Look at verse 12, Ephesians 4:12. For the perfecting or the maturing or the equipping of the saints. These ministry gifts are to help us to grow in maturity spiritually, and it's to equip us. And to equip us to do what? For the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. God wants us equipped to do what God's called us to do. Now, not everybody's called to be a pastor. Not everybody's called to be a Sunday school teacher. Definitely not everybody's called to sing. But you all have a role. Every Christian has a ministry. You know, those that work like with the Pregnancy Resource Center, that's a ministry. Those that work at places like West Stanley Christian Ministries that deal with people that are in need. Just the ability to listen and to discern. Here's a person that's really in need, and how can I help them? As to discerning, this person is a fake. they don't really need. They just going around, take, take, take. It's a gift. And as you learn to grow spiritually, you become equipped to do whatever it is that God's called you to do. Now, as we go through these, I want you to be thinking, what's the result of a balanced spiritual diet? And more importantly, what about me? How healthy are each of us spiritually? Now, all of us are at different levels on our road to becoming like Jesus. Part of it may depend upon how young you were when you accepted Jesus. Part of it would depend upon the type of church you've been a part of, what the pastors have imparted to your life. Part of it would depend upon how these other ministry gifts have imparted into your life. But are we growing? Are we becoming more like Jesus? Are we becoming better equipped to be the minister, the servant, the follower of the Lord Jesus Christ? He says, God gave these gifts, and he says, for, as a receipt, what are they for? To help us be equipped and matured to do what God has called us to do. And if we all do what God has called us to do, he says it builds up the body of Christ. In other words, we're all a blessing to one another. You remember in other places in the New Testament, Paul compares the church to a body. And we all need every part. We all need every part. Every member of the body of Christ is important. You may think, no, I'm not. I'm just an ordinary church member. There's nothing I can do. I'm not really important. Yes, you are. I mean, you think about it. You drop something on your toe. Toe's just a little thing. Pain radiates all the way up to your head. Finger or thumb's just a little thing. You hit it with a hammer. Pain radiates all the way up your arm. Just a little thing. What do you mean? My whole arm hurts. I just hit my thumb. Every member of the body. And you partake of food. All of those stuff to get that food out and make blood vessels and build muscle and give you energy and all of those things that, you know, the digestive system, everything is important. And you are important. You are a vital part of the body of Christ. And the spiritual gifts that God has given to the church are to help us achieve what God has called us to do. And then he says in verse 13, till we all come in the unity of the faith, of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect or mature man, unto a measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. We'll never all think alike, totally in sequence. But I've noticed that the more mature Christians become, the more they begin to think like other mature Christians. Their understanding of the scriptures began to dovetail together. Their awareness of the presence of God begins to come together. Their thoughts begin to come. They have a greater awareness of Jesus. Jesus becomes more precious, and they become more like Jesus. He says, unto a measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, we become more like Jesus. Oh, I love to be around Christians that are growing to be like Jesus. How precious they are, how special they are. And the more we allow the spiritual gifts that God has given the church to impact our life, the more like Jesus we become. And then in verse 14 he says, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, carried about along with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Once we feed on the good stuff, the bad stuff doesn't interest us anymore. It's amazing how every few years the same old heresies come along and they're titled New Revelations. And if you know church history, most of those new revelations you can find in the New Testament and Paul saying it's heresy. It's just amazing. And somebody will come along and I've got this new revelation and this little group over here following. No, it's just the same old heresy. And Paul says here in Ephesians, as we learn to partake of healthy spiritual food, we're going to recognize the false from the true. Every so often you hear in the news, somebody's passing counterfeit $100 bills. Bank tellers learn how to tell which is which. We as Christians need to learn. And as we grow and mature, sometimes we can put our finger on it, sometimes just right down in here, the Holy Spirit just says, that just isn't right. Just something about that just isn't right. And so as we grow, we learn to discern. And we're not like little children. I mean, you know, you go back in the nursery and they're playing with this toy. And then they're playing with this toy. And then they're playing with this toy. And they don't play with this toy for four weeks. And then all of a sudden they're playing with this toy. No, we as Christians learn to mature and stay. And you know, Jesus says in the last days some of the very elect will be deceived. They're saved, but they're deceived because they don't know the Word of God. They don't rightly discern the Word of God. And then he goes on to say in verse 7, Let's do it, verse 16. For whom the whole body fitly joined together, compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying or building itself up in love. Now that's right what I was saying a moment ago. We all have a supply to contribute to the body of Christ. And I love it when he says we grow in love. We grow in love. What's the little chorus? They'll know we are Christians by our love. They'll know we're Christians by our love. Yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love. People that say they're Christians that are full of hate and animosity and anger belie the fact that they know Jesus Christ. The Bible says God is love. God is love. Now, it's okay to be angry about sin and upset about sin and want to deal with sin, but to be angry with one another, to not love one another. Jesus said, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples. How? If you love one another. John puts it this way. How can a man say, I love God, whom he's not seen, and hate his brother, whom he has seen? Says it just doesn't compute. We love our brothers. He says we build ourselves. As we grow spiritually, we grow in love. And then he says, this I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth know not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over into lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness, but you have not so learned Christ. Folks, he's saying, listen, as you grow spiritually, you're going to grow in holiness. He says, those who live, he uses the word in the King James, lasciviousness, live in sin, either are not saved or they're not growing spiritually. It's just one or the other. He's saying we need to grow in holiness. And for the next several verses, he talks about that. Like in verse 26. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down on your wrath. And then in the verse 31. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Now, it seems like some folks are just ordinarily born with a peaceful, calm personality. And other folks seem to be just born with a powder keg mentality. I had a church member who was a louder before she married. She said, I've never seen a louder lose their temper. Said, all the louders I know still have theirs. And boy, she had hers. You know, a mark of growing spiritual maturity is to be able to deal with anger and keep our anger under control. That's not always easy, but it's growing in spirituality. Now remember, Jesus got angry about some things. I mean, you know, a guy that walks into the temple, makes himself a whip, and throws over money tables and runs the animals out and runs the merchandisers out, he was showing just a little bit of upsetness. But Jesus could love the adulteress, the widow, the orphan, the sick. He could love them all. He was jealous for his father's house. He said, you've made it a den of thieves when it should be a place of prayer. And yet, you don't find Jesus being angry in an ungodly way. Spiritual growth leads us to become more like Jesus. Verse 27, don't give place to the devil. Don't give place to the devil. Michael may be the only one, and a couple of these kids over here, probably the only ones that don't remember Flip Wilson. The devil made me do it. No, the devil didn't make you do it. He asked you to do it. He tempted you to do it. You chose to do it. You chose to do it. Paul says, don't give place to the devil. And let me tell you something. You don't ever get so old, and you don't ever get so spiritual that the devil still doesn't knock on your door from time to time. Amen. But the Bible says, resist the devil and he will what? He will flee from you. You go to the door and say, devil, in the name of Jesus, I refuse to do what you're asking me to do. In fact, I've heard it said, just when the devil knocks, send Jesus to the door. Don't give place to the devil. And as you grow spiritually, you begin to recognize that's my flesh. That's the devil trying to lead me astray. And I don't have to give in. I don't have to let him make me do it. I can choose to resist. Verse 28, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. He said, be honest in your business dealings. Be honest in your business dealings. I remember a lost man that was visiting our church, not Barber's Grove, saying to me, one of your church members just asked me to go to my job and steal something for him. Now, how do you think that lost man is going to respond when we tell him he needs Jesus? No. He's not going to respond very well. Thank the Lord he did get saved a few years down the road. But it wasn't because of a good witness from a church member. He said, be honest. Let your word be your word. You know, many, many years ago, we just shake hands on a $100,000 business deal or selling of a farm, and my word and your word was good. Now you got to have my lawyer hit your lawyer, draw up a big contract with wherefores and thereofs and all of that, and everybody sign it and get it notarized. And then if you're not sure, if you're not careful, somebody said, oh, here's a loophole. Be honest. As we grow spiritually, we're going to become honest. And also there, he says, go to work with your hands and give so that you'll be able to give. We have a heart for those that are in need. We have a heart for those that have special needs. Verse 30. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Today we use things like a notary stamp. Back in those days, if they had a special document, they'd put some hot wax on it and somebody put a seal in it. They carry a little ring with a special, everybody had their own little insignia that says, and there may be a seal that says this belongs to Caesar or this belongs to such and such a business or whatever. He says, the Holy Spirit living within you is God's seal that you belong to Him. He says, don't grieve Him. Don't grieve Him. You know, He lives in you. We had all, most of us at one time or other, have fallen out of sorts with somebody else. It may be in our home. It may be extended family. It may be at work. And you know, it's just not right. You still look at that person and maybe you don't want to talk to them. They don't want to talk to you. It's just grief. He says, don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Be at peace with the Holy Spirit. Be at peace. Live in harmony. Don't grieve Him. Verse 32, be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. What did Jesus say? Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Paul says, Christ forgave you. You forgive others. Now, as you look at all of these things, these all go back to a healthy spiritual diet. As pastors and teachers and prophets and evangelists and apostles, pour into your life that which God has gifted them to give to you, and you absorb it, then you begin to grow spiritually. And just because you're not at the same level as somebody else doesn't mean there's anything wrong with you, as long as you keep growing. Some of us grow faster than others. Some of us grow faster than others in certain areas. It's like in school. Some kids, you know, by the time they're in the 10th grade, they're doing 12th grade math. And there are other kids, when they're in the 10th grade, they're doing 7th grade math. But still, they're getting it. It's not something to beat ourselves over the head with and feel woe and gloom and despair and agony on me. It's to measure ourselves and say, okay, I'm doing pretty good here on this anger issue. All right. I'm doing pretty good over here with knowing and fitting my place into the body of Christ and ministering issue. It's a matter of finding where we are and growing. And God didn't say, okay, you get saved, go through the baptistry, and buddy, you own your own. God says, I'm going to give some gifts that'll help you to get from where you are when you accept Jesus Christ to where you need to be when you step over into glory. I encourage you. Make use of the available gifts that God has given you. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. These are God's gifts to the church to help us grow. Would you bow your heads, close your eyes for a moment? I pray that as we've looked at these things, the Holy Spirit has quickened your heart. Maybe in certain areas he said, you're doing good. I'm proud of you. Certain other areas he may have said, you need to improve in that area. I look at my own life and I know areas I still need to improve. Are you willing to say, Lord, help me? Lord, I want to grow. I want to be more like Jesus. Make that commitment right where you sit tonight, this morning. Lord Jesus, I want to grow. And Lord, thank you for giving spiritual gifts to the church so that it can grow. And if there's anyone here this morning that doesn't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and you feel the Holy Spirit speaking to your heart, would you just get up right now and walk down the aisle, and I'll come down there and meet you, and we'll talk about what it means to be a Christian. All you have to do is just get up and walk down the aisle. If you're feeling the Lord asking you to accept Jesus this morning. Do you know the words of that little song, I Have Decided to Follow Jesus? And then there's some verses that say, the world behind me, the Lord before me. Oh, what a commitment that is. No turning back. No turning back. May you follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Grow to be more like Him every day of your life. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you. May He be gracious to you and give you peace. In Jesus' name.